Okay, Shalom Aleichem Rabbi Yisai. Agutavach. We are Be'ezras Hashem in Chavis Halavavis, Shar Avoida Sarelikim, Perek Zayin, the seventh Perek. In my Lev Tov edition, it's page Reish Nun Gimel. In the middle of the paragraph, Umehem, if someone can tell us where that is in the English. Tanya, okay. It's in the toward the beginning of the seventh perek, toward the beginning of the seventh perek, Umehem Shelo Yivze. Let's recap what we're up to right now. The Chavis Halvavis here, we began a very, very fundamental little piece. The Chavis Halvavis, after impressing on us that we have to live a life of dedication to Hashem, corresponding to the level of goodness that we're getting to him, from him. In other words, it starts with, you have to be conscious, you have to be aware of the level of good that you're getting from Hashem. What good are you getting from Hashem? Well, you're getting the good that all of mankind enjoys. In addition to that, you're getting these extra privileges of being the special favor of being Hashem's chosen, part of Hashem's chosen people. And then you have to go to the next layer and actually see in your own personal life, what are the individual benefits that you receive from Hashem. Now again, you can't just start from Shar Avodas Elikim. In order to do this properly, you have to have been trained in through Shar Abchina. You have to have grown accustomed to the concept of being able to see, to note, to contemplate the good that you're receiving in life, and that it doesn't just pass you by. But once you're there, as we said, Lemaisa, he told us that the great people of the past used to live with this as it was on their mind. It troubled them. Will I manage to live up to repaying, so to speak, all the goodness that I'm getting from Hashem? Will I manage to justify it? And here in this parak, the Chavis Halvavis is easing our minds somewhat by providing us, he says, if you want to know what are the basic things, there are 10 things that you need to be doing in order to, so to speak, justify the chesed that you're getting from Hashem. Or the way we put it, the way we've been putting it is like this. You can never really repay. There's no such thing as repay. But his point is that there are things that Hashem wants to see when he gives his chesed. And if you can live up to these 10 things, then you are... Wait, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yisai, just one moment. If you can be living up to these 10 things, then you are the type of person that Hashem wants to be doing these chasodim for. In that sense, you're justifying. You're not repaying it, but if Hashem has a certain vision of what he wants, he's giving chasodim in order to see X, Y, Z, these 10 things make you that person. So let's recap. We saw 5 last week. Let's recap them briefly and then move on to the next 5. So, the first was, do not use Hashem's chasadim against him. As we said, in a general way, I think that anybody who's here interested in hearing a Chavis Halvavis shir is not that type of person. I don't know how relevant this is to us in a broad way. But like, for example, Hashem gave you wealth. Don't use it to invest in an immoral magazine. Hashem gave you power. Don't use it to exploit people. Don't use it to hurt people. Hashem gave you chachma. Don't use it to be manipulative. And so on and so forth for all of your different talents. Now, I'll make a note in parentheses that this is something that not only makes it relevant to all of our lives, it almost makes it impossible to live up to. I want to note this in parentheses with due caution. The Talmud Dvaira takes this concept much further. And he says that this is really relevant anytime a person does an Avera. Because he says, for example, he says the way to think of this is, let's say a person is about to talk Lashon Hara. He says, think to yourself that at the very moment that you're going to be talking Lashon Hara, first of all, he emphasizes the idea, the understanding that Hashem is actually providing life on an ongoing basis. It's not that when you begin living, Hashem turns on a switch. It stays on until Hashem flicks it off at the end at 120. Hashem is providing life and energy on an ongoing basis. In fact, this is also a parenthesis inside the parentheses. That's one of the reasons that we eat on a regular basis. It's to remind us that life doesn't automatically just continue. It needs to be refueled. And that refueling comes from Hashem. And it's really meant to lead us to a consciousness of always being dependent on Hashem to support our life, to keep our life going. You use the food, brings it home three times a day. But you're meant to jump from there to the understanding that really every moment of the day, Hashem is keeping you going. So the Talmud Dvaira says that if a person is considering talking Lashon Hara, think about the fact that as you are about to start wagging your tongue to talk Lashon Hara, Hashem is busy keeping the blood flow working in your tongue. And Hashem is actually, you are using the tongue against Hashem at the very moment that he's actually sustaining it. And the same goes for any other organs. So this is already something that is a point to bring home. This is, again, if you're going to take this all the way, so it's say that as long as you're not perfect, if you ever make a mistake, you're not living up to this. So now, I want to set it up this way. In a general way, we're talking about the broad picture. Make sure that you don't have a chesed from Hashem that's actually dedicated to the wrong thing. None of us do. Your mouth is not dedicated to the wrong thing. Your talents are not dedicated to the wrong thing. Your money is not dedicated to the wrong thing. Your intellect is not dedicated to the wrong thing. But in terms of aiming for a higher level, this is a point of consciousness to keep in mind. If we can make ourselves aware when we're tempted to do something wrong, that am I really going to do this right now if I focus on the fact that at this moment, Hashem is providing me with the chesed of a hand, and am I going to use my hand for the wrong thing? While at this very moment, Hashem is actually providing my hand with its vitality? Okay, that was point number one. Don't use Hashem's chasadim against him. Point number two was to be constantly talking about Hashem's chesed. To thank him and praise him for it on a regular basis. This means that, yes, you want to be the type of person who, the way Gemara says it is, Shem Shamayim Shagru Bipiv. Hashem is a regular part of his lexicon. You are acknowledging Hashem on a regular basis. And again, if you're going to be encountering more cynical people, they'll look at you funny. Don't mind that. Yes, your manner of speech and your home should be well punctuated with mention of Hashem, with acknowledgement of his involvement in your life and of his chasad. Person who does that, Hashem says, like we said before, that's the type of person who I want to be doing these chasadim for. Number three, don't belittle the chasadim that you get from Hashem. We spoke about this again last week. Don't make the mistake. Sometimes people look around and they see that other people have even more than them. You have a home. Somebody else has a bigger and fancier home. Don't start talking about your home as a dump. Don't start talking about, all the chasadim of Hashem. If you think about it, when you think about how we sometimes tend to not be so satisfied with what we have, and you might talk about your dump of a home, your tachshit of a kid, etc. We want to be careful not to belittle, not to talk, not to denigrate the tovus that we received from Hashem. Then, number three, number four, five, and six, we're all basically revolving around the same point. When you receive chesed of Hashem, remember, keep conscious of its true source. Meaning, do not attribute it. If it came by means of another person, don't start viewing that person as the source of your benefit. Hashem provided the benefit, and he's giving it through the means of this person. Certainly owe that person a yashar koyach, but he is not the source of the benefit. Remember that the big thanks goes to Hashem. The way the Gemara says it, kind of like in a sardonic kind of way, is chamla lemore tivusa leshakir. It means like this. If you're, let's say you're a guest at somebody else's home, and you're sitting at the edge of the table, okay? You're a guest at a lavish meal, and there's another guest sitting next to you. And throughout the meal, you're asking him, can you please pass this? Can you please pass that? And throughout the meal, that guest is passing you. She passes you the drink, and she passes you the platter of meat. And she's passing you, okay? Then, when you finally finish the meal and you're ready to leave, so you go over to the guest and you say, thank you so much for a beautiful meal. You don't say a word to the hostess. Chamo lemare tivusa leshakir. The wine belongs to its owner, but the thanks often go to the one who poured it. So this is what the Chavos Al Vavos is saying. Remember that the big thank you goes to the hostess. You should definitely give a polite thank you to the person who was passing you the food the whole time. So that's number one. Do not attribute it to the person through whom it came to you. Do not attribute it to your own talents and abilities. Don't think, wow, I was able to get myself XYZ. And also don't attribute it to the hishtadlus, to the efforts that you made. Don't think, wow, it's a good thing I have this job because this job is what provided me with my fortune. No, this job was Hashem's means of providing you with what he wanted you to have. Big subject that will be discussed at more length in Shara B'Tochen. So this was actually six. So we've been through six. This is what we discussed last week. And now we're ready to move on to the next ones. Umehem. Another one is, this I guess is number seven. We'll have to check the count again at the end. Umehem. Another one is, Shelo yivze mishechoser hatoivahi. If you are the recipient of some special benefit, never look down upon somebody who was not given that privilege. And see yourself as being better than they are before Hashem. This has so many different applications. You have money, don't look down upon a person who doesn't. You're smart, you're intelligent, don't look down upon a person who isn't. Be very careful. You have to remember, all this is coming back to the fact you have to remember that this is a gift. This is not something that you are the cause of. And therefore, when you're in the presence of the one who gave you the gift, don't feel haughty about the gift. Don't look down on a person who doesn't have it. If you are of higher social standing because you're more polished, don't look down on a person who isn't. I'll say another one, which might be a bit sensitive, but which I often feel is relevant. Sometimes a person who is from birth will chalila make the mistake of looking down on a Baal Tshuva. And that's mamish an example of this. Are you better because you were born into different circumstances? And on the contrary, here, it's all the more relevant, but the point of the Chavos Al Vavos and then the Ramban go on to make, that he is proving himself even more The Baal Tshuva, the Baal HaTshuva, is perhaps proving themselves even more than you are. Don't make the mistake of feeling superior about the fact that you were born into this situation. Also has a lot of implications. I won't get into further examples now. I don't think it's beneficial. But okay. Now, Bishemo de Kiminaso is say, but I says, remember that if you are quote unquote better than somebody else in some way, you have more money, you're smarter, you have more social skills, better social skills, etc. So really what's going on is that you are in a deeper deficit toward Hashem than that person is. And he says, on the contrary, it should make you humbler. He says, you were given extra money, let's say. The other person doesn't have it. He says, perhaps Hashem gave it to you in order to test you and in order to bring out your lousy character traits. You know why the money is there? The money is there because Hashem is not happy with certain character traits and figures, you know what, let's I don't want this to just be under the surface the whole time. Let's bring it out. Is the person going to work on it or not? And therefore Hashem gives this person money. And now, perhaps that money, all it's doing is really just soiling you from the spiritual perspective. It's just going to get you to the wrong place. And on the contrary, the person who lacks that money might now be in a better position. The money just ruined your character. Hashem saw certain potential challenges in your character. Hashem gave you a test to see when it's actually brought to the fore, will you work on it or not? And chas v'shalom, maybe all it did was bring out the flaws in the character. And therefore, all the money did was get you to a lower place than this poor person is in. The same goes for other things also. Various talents, abilities, privileges. So therefore, he says, be careful. And this is actually one of the purposes of the talents. Are you able to have these talents and yet remain humble? Yet maintain the realization that this is a gift and it provides me with no basis to feel higher or greater than somebody else. And I want to read in this context a few words from the famous Igeres HaRamban. Igeres HaRamban is probably all familiar with it, but this is a letter that the Ramban wrote to his son. It's about one page long in a typical book, and instructed him to read it every single day. He said, if you read this every day, you will remain very spiritually healthy. He tells him once a week at least. That's what he says, once a week at least. And he says in the middle as follows, which is mamish the same point that the Chovos HaLevavos is making here. It says like this. I will now spell out for you what it means in practical terms to conduct yourself with the midah of anava, humility. This is after he expounds on the greatness of the midah of humility and how essential it is. He says, now I'll explain it to you in practical terms. Always speak softly. Keep your head lowered. Keep your eyes on the ground, but your heart high. Don't look a person in the face when you speak with him. And here's the point that I want to get to. This is our context. Let every person that you encounter view him as greater than yourself. If he is wiser than you or more wealthy than you, then it's appropriate that you respect him. If he is poor and you're rich, or if you're wiser than him, then think that this places much more responsibility on you. And he is probably in a better place before Hashem than you are. Because if he sins, he had less opportunity. While you were given more opportunity, and therefore you're held more accountable. So in other words, the Ramban is telling us, and this is kind of the point the Chavos HaLevavos is making, to be able to have your mind work in opposite directions. The common denominator being, I want to be able to maintain a proper perspective of me and this person with Hashem in the background. And therefore, yeah, we want to be, if we have gifts that other people don't have, we want to feel humbled because of them. We want to feel that it's weighing down on us and causing us to bow our heads. And if I, right, think again of the mashal. Let's say you just received, you really needed financial help. And some philanthropist just gave you a lot of money. And you're walking down the street with him. And you meet a poorer person who never got anything from this philanthropist. Are you going to now express to this poor person, hey, I have a lot of money and you don't? On the contrary, you don't want to talk about that right now because the philanthropist who gave it to you is right here. On the contrary, this other person doesn't have to walk with his head low. He never got anything from this guy. But you do. So this is another tonight that he's saying. You want to justify benefit that Hashem gave you, show Hashem that you're conscious of the fact that it's a gift by always acting humbly towards somebody who did not receive that gift. Okay. Next, and I think this is number 8. Don't hold me to that. Sheyeh levavay shalem im elokim bekavanaso v'hikonoi. You have to justify the taiva by stepping up your avodah, your dedication to Hashem accordingly. Now, really, this has been the theme the whole time with all of these 10. But here, what he's saying is like this. Theoretically, this is how it should be. Let's talk in like very concrete terms. Then you have to apply it to all the different chasadim in life. You just got a raise. So what is the response? The response to that should be, what am I now going to add to my spiritual regimen? What am I going to do better now because of the fact that I got this raise? And so that really is a way to think. When some marked benefit comes your way, to be thinking in terms of, what can I do for that? Now, you don't have to be busy making sure that the pounds are exactly equal, that the pounds and ounces, how much benefit was it, and therefore you'll push yourself over the deep end. But whenever a stroke of fortune comes a person's way, the response should be to respond with some sort of spiritual step. This really is the concept behind my suksafim. I got money, I'm giving a tenth of it to Hashem. The Gemara talks about, if you got a new home, we already saw this in the Chavis HaVavis. You got a new home, you put up a mezuzah on its door. It's not just circumstantial. A door requires a mezuzah. Now that I have a door, I have to put up a mezuzah. No. Now that I got a new home, I realize that I should be doing more. And therefore, I'm going to do something I didn't do before I had a home. When I was homeless, sleeping in a bus shelter, I never put up a mezuzah. Now that I have a home, I'm going to put up a mezuzah with the consciousness of the fact that I have a home, I should be doing another mitzvah because of that. And this should be representative of the things we do with our home. So now, the Chavos HaLevavos adds, v'im lo yosif b'maaseo. But now he says, at the very least, if let's say, you don't see practically what you can do more. Amashaya b'tchila. You don't see what you can add to your already doing. Also, this is another point. To actually express it verbally, that I received the taiva to thank Hashem. But if in the Chavos HaLevavos world, this will really mean moving your whole life to a higher track of Avodas Hashem. This can get very overwhelming because every time something good comes my way, I have to move my life to a higher track. It gets complicated. So he says, yes, midal masha hayaboy. At the very least, the way to respond is, yes, midal masha hayaboy. At least keep up what you've been doing. And keep it up with the consciousness that you're doing it for Hashem. I'm going to explain this momentarily. This could be quite relevant. Here's really the point. Do not allow the benefit to cause you to now do less than you've been doing. And to distract you from doing more for Hashem. Meaning, here you have a person who suddenly his business took a very significant turn for the better. He's suddenly making a lot more money. Again, I'm using this because this is usually a concrete example and you have to be able to apply it to other realities. But suddenly making a lot more money and suddenly his time is a lot more in demand. Suddenly becomes a lot busier. Now all of a sudden he has so many more business contacts. He managed to expand his business, many more business contacts, et cetera, et cetera. He can now get caught up in that. His business is bigger now. His business is bringing in a lot more. He can get caught up in that and all of a sudden find that it's demanding a lot more of his time. Davening properly with a minyan becomes more of a challenge. Keeping up his darim becomes more of a challenge, et cetera, et cetera. And what could end up happening is that Davka, the fact that he met with success, is causing him to compromise his spiritual program. Here the Chavis HaLavavis is warning us. If you're not able to actually take your life to a higher track because of the chesed that you received, at least make that effort, put in that effort not to let it drop. Don't allow the chesed to become reason for your efforts to become more lax, for your dedication to Hashem to become more lax. Beware of that. Okay. The next reason, umehem. Another condition to justify Hashem chasadim. When it comes to material things, this is such a fundamental mindset. When it comes to material things, focus on people who have less than you. Don't look at people who have more than you. In other words, generally, this brings us back to Sha'ab Chinah to an extent. But generally, the way people naturally operate is you want to be moving up in terms of materialism. You would like to be moving up. Like we said before, I bought an apartment. Baruch Hashem, I'm very happy with it. But now as I start looking around in my social circles, and I see somebody whose apartment is bigger than mine. And I look at that and I say, when can I get there? I'd like to have that. This person goes on fancier vacations. This person dresses more expensively. And I look at it longingly. So the Chavis HaVavis says, no, when it comes to material things, turn your focus toward the people who have less. You have a four-room apartment. Try to be looking at the people who have two-room apartments and comparing yourself to them. Make an effort. This goes against the pull of gravity. Make an effort, instead of letting your mind be drawn to the people who have more than you and looking at them longingly, turn your focus, try to identify, try to think of a few people who have less than you and to focus on them. Don't tell them that you're making a project out of this, yes? But focus on them and appreciate your own state. And put effort and time into thinking about these people. Also when it comes to health, It's not just about financial standing. Think about people who spend a lot of their time in the hospital and think about your quality of life relative to theirs. Try to think of various different things, material situations, and identify people, again, all in your own mind, who are underprivileged, less privileged than you. Focus on them in order to appreciate that, yes, your situation is pretty good. And at the same time, when it comes to spirituality, go in the other direction. Always have your focus, always have your sights on people who are performing higher than you spiritually. People are doing more than you. In order to strive to that level. Don't keep your focus on people who are doing less than you and then feel like you can pat yourself on the back. I'm doing fine. Look, this person doesn't do as much as me. And this will cause you to feel proud of yourself and not to feel any need, not to feel any urge to be doing more. So this is also, he's telling us to make a certain switch, to reverse the natural way of viewing things. We naturally would prefer to look at people who are doing less than us and say, wow, look how pious I am. I give more tzedakah than this one. I'm more medaktik in halacha than this one, etc., etc. And when it comes to material things, to be looking upwards, he's saying, turn it around. In spirituality, don't look at the people who are doing less than you, but rather always be looking at the people who are doing more than you in order to strive for more the whole time. This very much has to do with which social circles you set yourself up in. You want to set yourself up in a social circle where you'll have a drive to be doing more. Like Chazal say, better to be a tail of lions than to be the head of a fox. You want to be moving in circles where you're constantly seeing higher standards in order to not be complacent, in order to constantly feel a need to move ahead, to get higher, to become bigger. And once again, the Chovetz Chavos is telling us that this is one of the conditions for being a, what we're going to call, a desired recipient of Hashem's goodness. What does this have to do with receiving goodness from Hashem? So what it has to do is that, yeah, when Hashem gives you goodness, he wants two things. On the material level, he wants you to appreciate it. And on the spiritual level, he wants the goodness to serve as a motivation. He wants the goodness to serve as a spur to step up your ruchnius. And therefore, the equation is, you got goodness from Hashem, appreciate it by looking at the people who don't have it. Don't look at the people who do have it. Look at the people who don't have it. That's how you appreciate it on the material level, by looking at the people who don't have it. And again, you got that goodness. Therefore, I'm turning my sights higher. I realize that I should be doing more. If I'm not actually doing more, let me at least have as my frame of reference people who are doing better than me. If I'm going to put myself into a very mediocre social circle, mediocre spiritual-wise, where I'm going to feel like, hey, I'm in the top 5th percentile, and therefore I'm doing just fine. And on the contrary, it makes sense that I should be getting all these benefits. Then once again, that's not the idea. Hashem wants the benefits to serve as a spur to be growing higher, and there's always room for growing higher. There's always room for growing higher. Okay. Umehem. The last one is, by process of elimination, since it's the last one, I assume we're talking about number 10. Shelo yashi'ehu erech seser haboyris ala alav va'erech apav loy. He's saying as follows: if you're enjoying goodness for a long time. I'll approach this from the following angle. My grandmother, Alea Shalom, Mrs. Beck, she gave shiurim to people of all different walks of life and all different levels. And many times she was giving shiurim to people who were beginners or not even beginners yet, and she was often challenged with people would say all kinds of different things, cynicism, hostility. So one time, I don't know if she was talking about Taras HaMishpacha, I think it was, and maybe it was Treifas, I'm not sure. Chilul Shabbos, she was talking about something. And a woman came over to her afterwards and said, well, I've been doing X, Y, Z for many years, and I haven't been struck, and I wasn't struck down by lightning. So my grandmother looked at her in the eye with a little twinkle in her eye and a smile, and she said, well, not yet. That was her response. And this is the point that the Chovas HaLevavos is making here. A person who has certain basic sensitivities, when troubles will come his way, it may wake him up. It may wake him up. If a person doesn't have those basic sensitivities, it won't. But so a person is at the level that if certain troubles come his way, they will wake him up. The Chovas HaLevavos is saying, don't allow the fact that Hashem did not send you those troubles to keep you in a spiritual comatose state. Don't wait for those troubles. Hashem is saying, I'm doing good with you because I'm being patient. Really, there's this that needs to be improved, and there's that needs to be improved, etc., etc. I could send you a painful reminder. I haven't yet. But do you need me to? So don't allow the fact that those painful reminders have not come. Say to Hashem, you know what? It's okay. You've been giving me good. I don't need painful reminders. I am capable of waking myself up. That's the point that the Chovas HaLevavos is making here. Don't lose the ability to wake yourself up because of the fact that Hashem is treating you gently, treating you nicely. Don't require Hashem to take harsher steps. If you can tell Hashem, Hashem, I'm capable of waking myself up. I don't need you to help me. I'm capable of waking myself up. I'm capable of taking stock and seeing what areas in my life need improvement. Then Hashem says, okay, if so, I don't need to send you reminders. I can just continue providing you with good. And I trust that whatever wake-up calls need to be made, you'll do yourself. This is the point that the Chovas HaLevavos is making here. So just to translate his words exactly, do not allow Hashem the fact that Hashem is continuing to protect you from his own wrath for a long time, don't allow that to lull you into complacency. Don't allow you to lull that. The fact that Hashem is being patient, don't allow Hashem's patience to lull you into complacency and feel like that woman said, I've never been struck down by lightning. I probably never will. Lightning can come in many forms. Lightning can come in many forms. And sometimes when Hashem loses patience, he'll bring it in this form or in that form. Show Hashem, I am capable of making those wake-up calls myself. And that is another reason that justifies Hashem to continue providing you with that chesed on an ongoing basis. Okay, so we've been through the 10. We really should recap them. Bli neder. Next week we'll begin by recapping. I assume that next week will be our last week before we break for Pesach Be'ezras Hashem. Kol tov, Rabbi Yisai, agut tovach.
Thank you very much.